Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, says that there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides Him. There is no rock like our God. Today we will be looking at two aspects of His holiness. The first is that He is set apart from all creation as the only uncreated one. The second is that God is perfect in all of His ways. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, and listen as we begin our study with Pastor Ray Viola.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful.
For who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You only are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before You, for Your judgments are made known or manifest. I'd like to take a couple of weeks at least to speak about one of the most necessary, challenging, edifying doctrines in all of Scripture, and that is the doctrine of the holiness of God. And right from the get-go, I feel so inadequate to speak about such a topic, but I pray that God, by His Spirit and through His Word, would minister to our hearts the importance of knowing that our God is holy. What is the main theme of Scripture? The main theme of Scripture, if I can say this reverently, is God Himself. As glorious and as wonderful as the redemption of man is, the main theme of Scripture is God Himself. And from the heavenly scenes in Scripture, the one outstanding quality of the Almighty is His holiness. The Puritans used to call the holiness of God the shining of all of His perfections. And as we explore the holiness of God in Scripture, we see that it reveals three main truths about Him. Number one, it denotes the separateness or otherness of God from creation. The most oft-used Hebrew word for holy is kodesh. It means to be set apart. And so when you think of the holiness of God, you and I must be thinking that God is above and beyond all of His creation. Nothing is like Him. All of creation is subject to Him. And He does not depend on any part of His creation for His existence. In Acts chapter 17, we read in verse 25 that He is not worshipped with men's hands, speaking in the context of idolatry, as though He needs anything, seeing that it's Him who gives to all life and breath and all things. The only reason why you and I are breathing is because of a holy Creator God. He doesn't need anything from us. Trust me, He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need us. Scripture repeatedly declares that He alone is God. It says in Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. In Isaiah 45, verse 6, I am the Lord, and there is none else. In verse 9 of Isaiah 46, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. There's only one sovereign running this universe, and that's our God, and He is holy. And so when you think of the holiness of God, you need to keep in mind that He's separate from all of creation. Number two, it denotes God's total apartness from all that is unclean or evil. God alone is moral perfection. He's the sum of all moral excellence. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That means that He's absolutely pure. He's absolutely holy. He's light. No darkness in Him at all. The minor prophet Habakkuk said in chapter 1, verse 13, that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. You cannot look on iniquity. And so, since God is separate from all of creation, and since God is totally apart from all that is unclean or evil, that means that apart from a holy sacrifice of blood without spot and blemish, you and I, as sinners, cannot approach a holy God. Contrary to the notion that the subject of holiness, or the holiness of God, more specifically, is a sure cause for depression or condemnation, it's been properly said, let me quote, holiness resembles the light of the sun at noonday with its brightness, beauty, illumination, and warmth, and the air redolent of sweets and flowers. Holiness should bring sunshine, not gloom, happiness, not heaviness, gladness, not depression. That's what the doctrine of the holiness of God will do. I've discovered, even in preparing this message, that as I dwelt on the holiness of God and thought about the holiness of God, I realized how unholy I am. But not in a condemning way. It caused me to be thankful for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, for the provision that's been made by a holy God for me as a sinner to approach Him. And here in the heavenly scene, the question is asked, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy. Many times in Scripture, questions are asked with the intention of confirming or affirming a biblical truth. And the question asked here in the heavenly scene is actually a strong affirmation of the incomparableness of our God. You alone are holy. And because God is holy, three things are said in Revelation 15:4. He is to be feared, He is to be glorified, and He is to be worshipped. Because God alone is holy, He is to be feared, He is to be glorified, He is to be worshipped. In the Bible, the name attached to someone speaks of his or her character. Likewise, in Scripture, the name of God signifies all of His attributes, all of His character, and it is summed up in one word. He is holy. Jesus, teaching the disciples how to pray, said this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He begins right there, a recognition that our Father is hallowed, holy, pure. He's holy. Psalm 103, verse 1, the human author, David, the man after God's own heart, said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His. You've read that a couple of times, haven't you? Psalm 111, verse 9 says, He sent redemption unto His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. So when I get mail addressed to Reverend Raymond Viola, I toss it into the circular file. Because there's only one whose name is reverend and holy, and that's our God. And you can disagree with me and be wrong, but holy and reverend is His name. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, we read, There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside Thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Holiness is the peculiar glory of His nature. The Trinity, or the triune God, or the Godhead, is holy. The Spirit of God is called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, is called the Holy One of God. In His magnificent high priestly prayer recorded for us in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus addresses the Father as Holy Father. I'm going to vent for a minute, so please bear with me. This is holy venting. Jesus called His Father Holy Father. There is a religious figure, I'm not going to tell you who, who lives in Rome who claims to be the Holy Father. There is only one Holy Father, and he doesn't live in Rome. He lives in heaven. I'd recommend that he open the scriptures and read them. How anybody could claim the name Holy Father that belongs to God, a holy God, is beyond me. Okay, thank you for listening. If you were to draw a portrait of God, and you really can't, but if you were to draw a portrait of God, the attribute of his holiness would be the most outstanding. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, we read, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, his name is holy." He dwells in eternity. You and I can't even imagine that. We dwell in this time-space continuum. We have a beginning and an end, but not God. You realize if there were no universe, God would still be God? He always was. He dwells in eternity. And he who dwells in eternity, his name is holy. Holy. I want you to think about that this week. The holiness of God. It's like bleach in your washing machine. It will cleanse you. It will do something inside of you. As you and I dwell on the holiness of God, it by nature will expose and cleanse imperfections. This is an important doctrine in the scripture. And as born-again Christians, it's vital for us to have a biblical understanding of the character of God. Why? Because the failure to do so inevitably leads to creating a God after our own image and likeness. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 21, God says, "You thought that I was altogether such a one like you." God would say to you, "Do you really think that I'm like you?" Now, we have been created in his image and likeness, but we are not his equal. There's nothing in the universe that is the equal of God. Nothing. Nothing. He is the uncreated one. He has created everything. There is no equal. Isn't that amazing? Nothing to compare God with. We use, and God in his wonderful grace gives us illustrations like a lion and all of these things just so that we can kind of like grasp it. But he's holy. And because we've been created in his image and likeness does not mean that we are in any way, shape, or form equal to him. How large our God is. How big our God is. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read in verses 15 through 18, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity." And then God says again, "To whom then will you liken me? Or what likeness will you compare unto him?" God says, who's like me? Who's like me? There's nobody like our God. Nobody. One anonymous author wrote these words, quote, "Nothing makes more manifest the terrible depravity of man's heart and his enmity against the living God than to have set before him the one who is infinitely and immutably holy." The fact that our God is holy irritates us. It disturbs us. The Apostle Paul wrote these scathing words about fallen man's inventing a God after their own image and likeness. Romans 1:23 talks about how those changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You see, when we exchange the image of God into a God after our own thinking, the inevitable result is going to be a degradation of the true and living God, isn't it? And when we exchange the image of God into a God after our own thinking, The inevitable result is that we are going to elevate or worship the creature more than the Creator. And the inevitable result of exchanging the image of God into a God after our own thinking is that you and I are going to, with our hearts and our minds, seek to rest in things that can never satisfy us. There's a whole book in the Bible that talks about that thought, and it's the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that if a man or a woman seeks to find meaning or purpose in life in pursuit of pleasures under the sun, it's vain. It's empty. And the conclusion, Solomon says, is this: fear God, keep his commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. God is a holy God. And I really believe, and I say this with some trepidation, that modern Christendom is suffering from holiness light. And we need to make sure that we set the record straight regarding the character of God upon not what we think, but upon what God says. Again, our verse this morning. Take note of the declaration that is made by these victorious saints in glory in Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. You alone are holy. These are the people in glory. You are holy. They are captured by the holiness of God. They are gripped by the very holiness of God. It's his outstanding attribute. You alone are holy. Holiness is the very excellence of the divine nature. So many scriptures that we could look at. You could do a study on the holiness of God for a whole year and maybe scratch the surface. Remember when Jehovah led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. When they came on the other side of the Red Sea, they were singing a song, and the lyrics of the song included these words, Exodus 15:11. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? They have been delivered by the power of God, and they are amazed at the power of God. And he says, who's like you? Amen. Who's like you? Here they are delivered out of polytheistic, multi-God worshiping Egypt. And they said, who is like you? God, there is nobody like you. Now, that's to excite you. You can get excited. You're in church. It's okay. What a declaration. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Oh, this is our God. That's not who God was. This is who God is. You never use the word past tense. Jesus was a great was. Is. He is all of these things. Outside of the Bible, there are some wonderful books that have been written on the holiness of God. One of my favorites is a two-set book by the Puritan author Stephen Charnock. It's entitled The Existence and Attributes of God. It's a little wordy, and hopefully you read a little bit faster than I do. I'm such a slow reader. Pray for me. I read, see the deer. Does the deer, I wish I had the reading comprehension of my wife. She just sits there and lays there in bed at night. She's reading. And I'm there. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? But anyways, this book by Charnock is thick, it's wordy, but it is so filled with biblical truth. You'd get blessed. He writes these words: power is God's hand or arm. Omniscience is his eye. Mercy is his heart. Eternity, his duration. But holiness is his beauty. His beauty is manifested in his holiness. And this statement that God's holiness is beautiful is in perfect harmony with Scripture. Let me take you back to the time in 2 Chronicles when the people of God were surrounded by multiple armies. King Jehoshaphat is told that the Moabites and the Ammonites are about ready to attack him. So what does he do? He bows before the Lord. He prays. A prophet of God gives a word of knowledge to him. Here's how you fight the enemies of God. Send the praise team out first. Doesn't say it, but I'm sure that maybe some of the people, when they heard those instructions, says, well, I think, you know, I don't think I'm called into this ministry anymore. Here you've got these impending armies with all of their military hardware, and the Spirit of God instructs King Jehoshaphat to appoint singers that they should praise the beauty of God's holiness. 2 Chronicles 20:21. So there's the enemies of God, and here comes the Israelites. And they're looking for, let's just say, the tanks and everything. And who comes? Praise God for the beauty of his holiness. They're thinking, what kind of an army is this? And as they were praising God, the enemies of God were defeated. That's good biblical instruction there. As you and I learn to praise God from our hearts, those enemies that we deal with are defeated. They are defeated. Christ defeated them on the cross. Praise is acknowledging to him, Lord, you've given us this victory. And when Ammonites and Moabites and termites and all kinds of otherites start eating into you, biting away at you, start praising God. Start praising God for who he is. Psalm 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The heavenly scene, Isaiah 6. We will get into this a little bit more, Lord willing, next week. But this holiness is celebrated before the throne of God. There were the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And with two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now the Bible is filled with attributes of God. He is good. He is kind. He is loving. He is merciful. He is just. He is gracious. He is all of those. But here we see the seraphim looking at the very throne of God. And what is their declaration? What attribute? Holy, holy, holy. You would think that in modern Christendom that in heaven they're saying, cool, cool, cool. Listen, our God is not cool. Don't make him cool. He's holy. He's holy. If Jesus Christ were to walk into the sanctuary, we wouldn't say, wow, was that cool? We would be on our faces saying, Lord, you are so holy. Notice they have six wings. They covered their feet, two to fly, two to cover their eyes. They can't even behold his holiness. It's so beautiful. That is in complete harmony with what we read in Revelation chapter 4. The four beasts that had six wings about them. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day nor night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That thrice repeated exclamation, holy, speaks of recognition of the eternal God. But in the Hebrew and Greek language, when a word is repeated, it's for emphasis. It's like if you were to send me an email and you're writing in, you know, regular text and then bold. You want to emphasize something. That's what it means. Holy, holy, holy. There's an emphasis being placed there by the Spirit of God. Emphasizing what? That God is holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful name. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.